Finnegan.
The only one's
Why is the town manager? Why would he work
All right,
there?
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to pick up where we left off. And for the benefit of the tape recording, the chairman convened the meeting at 1500 hours or 3 p.m. We had a motion pending to accept the minutes by Councilman Smiley. And because the recording was not working, and we now have it working, the meeting is being called back to order at 3:07 p.m. So with that, Councilman Smiley has a motion to accept the minutes from previous meeting. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Okay, our first agenda item is Ordinance 14-096, introduced by Co-Chairman Street and myself. I believe Councilman Street presented this in finance before, but Councilman, would you like to touch on that particular ordinance?
Actually, Mr. Co-Chairman, I'll give deference to the Chief since he's here.
Colonel?
Yeah, I'm looking for it.
Yes, and for the record, Councilwoman Kilpatrick has joined us in the beginning of the meeting.
Sorry, I just got it. All right.
Okay, for the record of the recording, we have in attendance today President Bullock, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Powers, Co-Chairman Jay Street, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Cartier, Councilman Weiner, and Councilman Reddick. Colonel?
Ready, sir. Colonel Seddon County Police, sorry about that.
And also, Colonel, we have, and for the recording, President Pro Tem Penrose Hollins is with us.
Thank you, sir.
Basically, this is a request to add five temporary positions to the police department in regards to the attrition rate that we're suffering from. As a matter of fact, I was told today that two more officers have accepted positions elsewhere. All we're trying to do is break even with these temporary positions to get to our authorized strength at 375 and hold on to it for as long as possible. I'll answer any questions.
Okay. Anyone have any questions or comments? Councilman Smiley?
I have a comment, as long as I don't upset either public safety co-chairs. But I just want to clarify so we don't get on council floor and have any confusion tonight. It's on the agenda for discussion, but it is not on council's agenda for a vote. We're discussing it early because there's not a public safety meeting prior to our next council meeting. So just so we'll be looking on the agenda for this, and it's not going to be there this evening. So I just wanted to get that.
Yeah. Very good. Very good.
The only reason I know is I called Sharonise and talked to her.
It says it right here.
Councilman Cartier?
Yes. I just had a question. So we are authorized for 375?
Yes.
What are we currently at in terms of real staff now?
We're down about 30. The academy started this morning, so we're going to even those numbers up. But as the 6 months that it takes for a recruit to go through the police academy, we could have easily authorized 10 officers. The attrition rate is high because we have so many classes that were back-to-back with federal money back in the late 80s, early 90s. They're all eligible for retirement, and the job market for county police is hardening. There are people out there, Capitol PD, the Attorney General's office, the hospitals, the universities. What they're realizing is that when you hire a retired county police officer, they come with a built-in work ethic and the ability to investigate. So they're getting the most bang for their buck. These guys stood behind this badge for 20-plus years, and it's time for them to move on.
When do you anticipate that we're going to get through this, you know, period, we're going to have a real retirement wave? How many more years in the future do you think this is going to go?
Based on the classes that are behind my class and the people, the amount of people in the agency that are eligible for retirement, this should be the last year that we have to do any back-to-back academies. We should be able to do an academy every September now and keep up with the attrition rate, sir. That's the hope.
Okay.
And Colonel, I guess that would be my question. As the conclusion of this particular class and graduation, are we scheduled to have one more back-to-back?
Or no, sir. The hope is that, again, that attrition rate will start to slow down, and that we'll be able to have an academy next September on schedule every September. And the logic behind the September academies is they get out in time to go through their FTO period, and they're ready officers by the time summer hits, which you know is a busy time of year.
Well, I think that you and the staff and command of the police department know this council well enough to know that if, in fact, you see the necessity to have a back-to-back class, that I'm sure you'll have the support of the council.
If that situation changes, sir, I will be seeking that support.
Okay. Any other questions? Hearing none, Colonel, we have on here the crime update for shootings and homicides in Newcastle County over the past week.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Councilman Streets had asked that we give an update as to where we are in regards to our open homicide investigations, as well as where we are with shootings. But I just want to clarify a couple of things real quickly before I get into the homicides. There are two kinds of shootings. There's a shooting where an individual is actually hit, and there's shootings where no one was hit, but there was evidence of gunfire. In both of those categories, we are down. I've asked my people to put the numbers up on the board. When you look at the TAPS program in its the entire program, skip down to any particular category you would like to look at, but when you get to gun violations and shots fired, you can see that we're down 18%. And when you look at the other shots fired, you're down 25%. Shootings, you're down 25%. And of course, I'm the one who can't see from all the way back here. I'm getting old. And the homicide is down 44%. In regards to the homicides, I hope everyone is aware that we did make the arrest in the Paladin Club, double homicide, a very troubling and disturbing homicide up north where a couple was gunned down in cold blood. It is, you know, there's still one more person that we're interested in picking up. That's all I can say about it right now, but the arrest is very important, and it may seem like some of these cases have grown cold or they're not on our radar. That's not the case at all. It is nothing like television. It takes a very, very long time to pull these forensics together, and these investigators go out there and spend just as much time and money and shoe leather talking to people and drumming up witnesses and connecting the tiniest pieces of evidence back to this crime. And my hat is off to our criminal investigators, and Captain Fieser recently took over the criminal investigations unit, and our longtime investigator, Lieutenant Teresa Williams, in charge of persons crime. My hat's off to them as well. We are about to close the door on the Brookside homicide. I really can't say a lot about it right now, but we are very close to an indictment in that. And that leaves two other homicides. Again, I'm limited as to what I can say because it affects the outcome of the investigation. But I can assure you all, none of these investigations are cold in our mind. And I believe wholeheartedly, because of the efforts of this criminal investigations unit and the rest of the police department, that we will be likely reporting a 100% clearance rate at the end of this year. Not to mention homicides are down. I think it's also worth saying, as I put out to the Journal when they were surprised about the Paladin Club arrest, they said, you know, it took a while. It does take a while, but it doesn't mean the arrests aren't coming. And the message is simple. If you're committing homicide in Newcastle County, we will relentlessly pursue you, and we will catch up to you, and you will go to jail. Okay.
Councilman.
Thank you.
Councilman Weiner.
I think this is a record we could all be proud of. I know every council member has spoken with pride at civic associations about our county police force. On behalf of my family that lives within a shouting distance of the Paladin issue, I thank you. And I know you didn't mention Windsor Hills. I know there's a transfer from New Jersey issue pending there. If you're able to say, are we moving any closer to the transfer Just you can let me know if you're not able to say, that's fine as well.
I'm limited. I'm guarded in what I can say until after indictments are done, sir. Out of respect for all the work that these investigators have done to close these cases, I would ask for a little bit more patience, and I appreciate counsel's support.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Thank you, Colonel. Any other questions or comments? Co-Chairman Street?
You look at the graph. Everything's down, except for the last two. The number stops, and officer-initiated activity. Up 58%, and officer-initiated activity up 30%. Point being, without the increase in the number stops, without the increase in officer-initiated activity, the stats that have gone down would not have gone down. End of the day, TAPS is working. Figures speak for themselves, and the number of stops that have increased and the number of officer-initiated activity, being proactive as opposed to being reactive, is obviously working. So with that, I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate the leadership that you're providing, leadership of the public safety director and everybody, all the officers who's supervisor, everybody who's handled in this. And, you know, I'm telling my constituents, well, county police stopped me for nothing. And what I tell my folks is, you can't have it both ways. You want us to clean it up, then don't call me hollering about your grandson or your nephew or your cousin got stopped. They got stopped. If they weren't doing anything, they weren't detained that long, deal with it. So, you know, the difference of opinion about that, but that's my opinion. That's how I'm trying to work with the department and addressing issues in my district. And it's not just one civic association. I tell them all. And if you don't want us to clean it up, then fine, we'll leave. And just let them do what they want to do and be business as usual. So,
thank you, Councilman. Any other questions or comment, Councilman Bartiet?
Yes, I wonder if Chief could comment on the whole, you know, heroin problem in Newcastle County, just to kind of, you know, refresh on that ongoing problem.
I think right now we're at 23 heroin-related deaths in Newcastle County. We don't count the heroin deaths in the city, and I'm not sure, you know, what tracking method they're using, but we track ours for the simple reason that, you know, we recognize that there's a bigger problem here, and beyond even just the gates of policing, this is a problem that it's landing in law enforcement's laps, but it's a bigger problem than law enforcement can deal with. The evidence lockers are filled. The prisons are full, and it's a broken model, and we need help. We need help for these people that are addicted to heroin. We need a route for recovery, and, you know, as Director Bryant, you know, will point out to you that we are trying to educate the next generation about how this drug affects you. It is not a recreational drug. And someone once said to me, you know, we spent all this money on, you know, click it or ticket, and we convinced our kids to wear their seatbelts, but we can't convince them that heroin is a death sentence. And I think we can. If we can spend millions of dollars and convince people to wear their seatbelts, I think we can get everyone to understand that heroin is not a recreational drug. It's not, I'm just going to try it. And if you do find the personal strength to break out of the addiction, you're one in four. Most people don't make it back out. If you're addicted to heroin, you're incarcerated, or you're hopelessly addicted or dead. You're one of the three. You know, the recovery rate is not high. I mean, a lot of people don't break out of it. The ones that do, they're usually pretty remarkable people, and they have a lot of personal strength because it is an extremely addictive drug. And we're 2,000% increase in heroin seizures for the last couple of years, sir. You know those numbers. 2,270%, I think, is somewhere around the number. We're doing our job, but that's not the answer. If prison is forced sobriety, okay, maybe they'll get clean. But that's the extent of our We don't have the beds. We don't have the programs. We're trying to educate the next generation the best we can. And the executive has set aside $500,000 to educate people about what heroin really is. We're doing that the best we possibly can. We've got the schools to open their doors back up. Now, they were for a while telling us that you don't have to bring the heroin alert program here. We don't have a heroin problem. The entire Eastern Seaboard has a heroin problem. So we need to be honest about this. And then at some point, the other pieces of government are going to have to come through, and there's going to be a better way to deal with it. We've done our part. We're arresting everyone. And again, it's not the answer.
Just
on the heroin problem, and not just on your policing. It's all over. I mean, it doesn't matter where you are in the state. I have two pretty good friends that kids are in rehab. They've been there. We got a major problem. And, you know, they're not all ending up in jail, but there's sure being a lot of money spent. A real good friend of mine, he's in a rehab up in Lancaster County. He said he doesn't come out this time. I don't know, you know, what are they going to do? You know, he's home now on the weekends, and we were down there, and he's working on his truck, and he only had one battery in it because he sold the other battery out of his truck, couldn't turn it over. But there's a major problem.
If you don't have $60,000 cash on the table or some very, very good insurance, and you have a family member that has a heroin addiction problem, it's very difficult to find them help.
I mean, and it isn't just, it's all over the place. I mean, one of them is a professor and his wife's a vet. I mean, the other one's it's on farms. You know, and one kid is great, and the other one got addicted to heroin.
It's pretty easy to do. We are seeing at the heroin alert programs, troopers are coming up that we've known for 20, 25 years. They've lost their children to the drug.
I know some state troopers that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a mess.
I'm trying to get the message out there that it's a life-wrecking drug. It's a tall order.
Co-chairman.
I can stay all day, but I'll go back to previous discussion, and folks say heroin, and now we got those running around the state. We've approved medicinal marijuana, obviously leaning toward legalizing marijuana, period. And for the predominance of heroin acts, predominance of crack acts, the initial drug of choice is marijuana. And everybody wants to go play hide and seek, marijuana's okay, this is a problem. No, there's a direct link. And two, we as the state of government, we have what I thought was an outstanding DARE program. It was in the schools, we defunded it, took it out, and you can go to the methadone clinics and look at the results. And if we don't do the preventive action, both in and out of school, then we're gonna continue to have this problem. And then, unfortunately, the drug addicts think that the methadone is the answer, and I just do the methadone, I don't have to go to rehab there, and now I'm seeing people die from the methadone, long-term use. So there's a lot of work to do, and it's going to take more than us to come to a resolution, and it's going to take a combined, collective, ongoing effort. And it's more than anything else, it's just sad to see lives and families destroyed by these drugs.
Director Bryan.
Good afternoon, Director Bryan. Two things. And first, if I could, there is a direct result of TAPS and the effect that we're having on crime throughout Newcastle County. And I would ask if Chief Miller could stand up and just talk about the perspective of TAPS as it relates to the number of calls coming into our 911 center.
Thank you, sir. Jeff Miller, Chief of Communications. So we've seen, and we're evaluating the data in the same time frame that the Colonel's presenting the targeted analytical policing system to you today. And Councilman Street had asked us to present what are the 911 numbers as it reflects to, you know, the reduction in taps. I can tell you we are still working on that. We intend to present on September 23rd or the next public safety meeting. But I say with confidence that it's just about a 4% reduction in overall 911 phone calls. Fire and EMS calls continue to increase. And keep in mind that we call take for 7 police agencies and 22 fire and EMS entities. So while not every entity is seeing a reduction in crime, I point out right there just shots fired complaints is down by 42, almost 43%. They're the complaints, they're the lifestyle disturbances that cause 15, 20 people to call 911 all at one time, flood the system when we only have 6 or 8 working. They're the people that get the busy signals. So that's where that reduction, you know, you see it. But we see, you know, a reduction of basically 19,000 just 911 phone calls over the same, you know, time frame. And at all points, after looking at the data from all the other agencies that we support, that this is a direct reflection in the TAPS program.
Thank you, Chief. Director?
Again, 2 more things. Director Bryan. And I stopped by it. Every morning or so, the police staff have a meeting in the morning just to talk about things that took place, in this case, over the weekend. And this morning, I went in because I wanted to hear more about the investigations that they were undertaking. And as you are, I am too proud of what these guys are doing. I mean, I've never seen a group of young people headed by 2 of our finest, our captain and lieutenant. They are doing a remarkable job in just going after these people who are causing havoc in our communities. They have done just an outstanding job. I'm getting calls from across the country about specifically the latest thing that happened with the beating of this handicapped individual, praising these guys for their quick reaction, for identifying and taking these folks off the street, these young people who have no regard for life as far as I'm concerned. So I applaud them as much as I can, as often as I can, because they do such an outstanding job for us. And again, it's like a father being proud of their children. That's the way I feel about these guys, and I truly appreciate it. And 2, when it comes to this heroin problem, we're going to do everything in our power to touch as many young people in this county with this heroin alert program. We have a plan that we're putting together. We're going to change some of the content of the presentation to make it even more powerful. We're going to get in every school, every community center, every section of this county. We're going to go. And I told Marie Allen just to get ready for it, because we're going to do whatever we can to touch these young folks and convince them that this is not the way to go. This drug is going to kill you. And they see it. They know it. They know it's going to happen, but they still do it. So we have a plan that we're going to put together. We've talked to most of the school districts in Newcastle County, and some of them are on board. And others, we're going to have to work harder to get them to allow us into these schools and talk to their kids.
Let me help you with that.
And I will. But what's good is, and I have to make reference to at least 2 in the room who have opened up their fire hall in their town, and then another who is, he's out in the community putting up signs, he's beating the drum, going to parents and adults and guardians and telling them they need to see this program. They need to see it, and then they need to take it to the schools of their kids and their grandkids and their nieces and nephews and make the school, make them let us into this school. So, you know, I applaud those who are helping around this table and beyond, but we're going to do everything in our power. As a chief will always say, you can't rest the way out of this stuff. So we have to try a different approach, an additional approach to it, and we think that heroin alert something that was designed some 20 years ago. We're going to bring it back and again get it in front of as many kids as possible. We got a call just last week, I believe it was last week, from the state of Maine. They've heard about this program. They have a tremendous problem, like the Colonel said, up and down the East Coast. They have a tremendous problem in Maine. And they want to see this program up there. Talk to the kids and the parents, and we're going to work that out somehow, as long as they pay for it. But in Newcastle County, Delaware, I assure you, if they open up that door, we're coming in. And we're going to make a presentation. And what we're going to do differently, we're going to now have, right now, Marie is doing the presentation primarily by herself. We're going to add a police officer to it, we're going to add a paramedic to it, and then someone from communication. And they're going to, the kids are going to hear every step of the way what a paramedic or a dispatcher, the call, when a parent calls in crying about this child who's lying on the ground, foaming from the mouth, and then a paramedic throwing out the body bag, and then Marie Allen talking about her personal loss. So we're going to do our very best to combat this disease, and I can only thank you guys, because those are around this table, because we asked for money to help promote this thing, to help to come up with a marketing plan, and those of you around the table and those who are not here, they you supported it. And we're going to fulfill what we said we're going to do. So thank you.
Councilman Powers, you had your hand up before.
Yeah, just going back, you know, off of this subject, with shots fired. My son and I, a few weeks ago, we go to the farmer's market in Cool Springs. I don't know if it was in your district or one of yours. And while we were there, it as before we left, we're like, that's a shotgun. Well, where I live, somebody shot a shotgun. And at first, we're used to that in southern Newcastle County, and a neighbor could be shooting. You know, that's. But then we're thinking, we're in the middle of the city. And, you know, if you're in an urban area, for us, it's not a sound that we hear, and we don't get startled by it. But we didn't get startled till we started thinking where we were at. You know, and that comes the difference between having guns in the city and where we're at. You know, it's a little different situation.
Before we go to Councilman Cartier, Co-Chairman Street, did you want to make any comment on the schools?
Well, I think it's important enough and not to be belligerent, hostile, or anything like that, but I think I can be helpful in seeing to it that there's at least an interaction with decision makers from our end and in the school districts, and that needs to be done.
Well, that's all.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Cartier.
Just returning to the heroin issue, acuity here compared to the other local jurisdictions in the area or the Mid-Atlantic region, is our heroin problem worse, the same, a little better? Do you have any kind of sense of where we stand in the region?
It's a complex problem, sir, but primarily one of the issues is the level, the purity of the heroin is over 80% in Delaware. And that is, Philadelphia is a source city. That's the short answer. I mean, I can forward you the findings, the DEA forward to me. If you're so inclined to read them, it would expose a lot more information. But it's not. We'd run out of time if I started explaining to. But we do better. You have jurisdictions like Elkton that are coming up to see our TAPS program because they're attempting to replicate it,
right?
Because they have such an issue down there. So yes, we do better than some other folks, because if you have a reactionary police department that doesn't have an educational piece in place, or community services unit, you know, then you're behind the times. A lot of times you don't know how good you have it until you go on vacation and see these other police departments. We go to schools and national conferences and we realize how far ahead of the curve we are.
But I think, sir, that it's just, the heroin problem is a problem as well. If how good or bad it might be, if it's better than, it's bad. It's bad enough here as far as we're concerned.
Right.
And you can compare it to a place that where where a lot of heroin does come into the country, it gets to us. And when it comes to us, it's just as pure as it did when it crossed the border into this country. And it just spreads like wildflower. And that's the problem right now. A lot of the shootings in the city, for instance, I'm not really sure that they are actually drug-related, and even in our case, but it's a problem. The amount of heroin that we've, our patrol officers are seizing logs, they call them logs of heroin, on a given car stop, and that's how many bags? It's like 100 bags, something like that. 130 bags, like that. So it's a problem. I don't want to compare it. We have a problem here in this county that, again, we are determined to address.
And just to follow up, Greg, so it's mainly being sourced out of the Philly metro area? Is that where our dealer network comes from?
There are reports that say that, but at the same time, I can imagine it coming from the south as well, through Baltimore. It's coming. Again, to be perfectly honest, I'm not sure what we get by trying to determine that. What I do know, it gets here. You know, and that's where we have to focus our attention as much as we can in this county. And trust me, we are working very closely with the Delaware State Police, Wilmington Police, and every other agency in the state of Delaware, as well as the federal agencies, to combat both just the typical crime-related problems as well as our heroin problem.
I think sometimes you look at it kind of off the point of heroin, but it's all connected. If you look at some of those numbers up there, you see 33%, 40%, you're not sure how that translates to the people that you're serving. Just to understand, 44% reduction in homicide is 8 homicides down, 8 less. When you look at the property crime initiative that we're involved in, we have a 33% reduction in burglaries. That means 1,000 less citizens' homes were broken into, 1,000 people coming home to their house still being secure and their things still being where they left them. Because most people, when you talk to them, if you look at the online surveys, they're really not concerned about drugs. They're not concerned about shootings. They're concerned about their homes and their cars being broken into. That's what they're most upset about, and that's why the Property Crime Initiative is so important. But if you fly over this thing at 10,000 feet, all the property crime, all the thefts from motor vehicles, directly connected to heroin. And that's the funny part, is the insurance companies don't want to rehab anyone, yet they're paying the bills on all the burglaries and thefts from motor vehicles. So it's an educational piece
different
here.
Companies.
It's got to work together.
Talk a little bit about the Property Crime Initiative.
The Property Crime Initiative, you know, we realize that when we go through the police academy, we learn a couple of pretty important things. One is how to investigate a burglary, how to drive a police car. Then you leave the academy and you never do it again. You never really focus on those again. So we're wondering why we're doing so bad on property crime. Delaware's fourth in the nation. Now that, you know, is based on per capita, but still it's not a good report card. So I said we had to do something about it. We picked 4 or 5 people in each platoon that are interested in property crime, retrained them, better equipment, a connection to our criminal investigations unit, a weekly meeting, follow-ups, better computer equipment, NC4, things of that nature. Now they're lifting 80%+ more latent prints, in other words, usable fingerprints, which are leading to more arrests, which is why burglary's down. Before, if you had a 20% or 30% useful latent hits being collected, that's a lot. Now we're over 80% just by doing some retraining. The same thing's happening with our vehicles. You know, we're putting people in the simulator. We're retraining you how to drive. We just assume that because you're a police officer, you're a great driver, and you don't need retraining, but that's not true. Every year we go back and train on how to do CPR. We train on our guns, but we're not pulling our guns out every day, but we're getting behind a wheel every day. So that's where our focus is. And this Property Crime Initiative, it's in its infancy. We're 7 months into this, but I guarantee you it will be just as important as the TAPS program. As we look back over the last 19 months and you see the numbers, a year from now we're going to be talking about the Property Crime Initiative. And I promised everyone on this council that this wasn't the finish line, it was just the beginning. We're not slowing down on public safety.
Thank you, Chairman Street.
Well, I was going to let it go, but the director opened the door. So, you know, at the end of the day, the derivatives of heroin don't grow in this country. And we've let it come in, be imported to the extent that now it's cheap on the street in terms of a business being supply and demand, and there's a great demand for it because of the decrease in cost, and it's destroying us as a nation. And that part of it is bigger than us. And it's going to require changes of things on a national level in terms of doing what's right for this nation. And two, he mentioned the shootings in the city, and I'm sick of it. But what I have to deal with is the harsh reality that when there's a shooting victim, more often than not, nobody in the family recovers. Not the parents, not the children, not the siblings, not the nieces, not the nephews. So now you got a 3-4-year-old, all of a sudden, he don't have a daddy no more. Then you wonder why he's turning over tables and throwing chairs in school. And it's not about drugs. It's a whole change in culture. It's a whole change in dealing with problem resolution. And right now, the solution to any problem that I have is, I'm going to shoot you and you're going to shoot me. So I'm shooting first. And that whole change of culture, we got to change it back. But the mistake we're making is you got folks sitting around the table making decisions, old and gray like me. And we want young folks to change their behavior, but we're not bringing them to the table to be part of the discussion and part of the resolution. So, you know, until we include them and ask them to participate in the process and resolve the problem, I think we're going to continue to fail.
Any other comment? I just have one item that, just for the record today, that I want to put on the record is that, as all of us are aware, we had the director of the state SPCA, Director Uselton, come before us in previous meetings. At the last meeting, I made it a point to advise him that this county government, since he is contracted with this county government, would not, under any circumstances, tolerate any actions on behalf of his organization on Facebook, different media, where it reflects poorly back upon this county as a government. And I just want to make you aware that since we advised him, Kent County has had a problem, and Kent County Commissioner Jody Sweeney responded back to where the SPCA on a state level, and it's not the SPCA that we once know, it's the former Kent County SPCA, put out on its Facebook four animals that were up for adoption and named them after the folks' last names, four ladies that had questioned the SPCA about their operation, their direction. And so Kent County Commissioner, who all four resided within her district, 5th District, responded back and put it on record that they themselves, as Kent County, had warned Mr. Uselton in a meeting after ours that in no way, shape, or form would they tolerate that type of action. So I believe we have a problem with the leadership of this SPCA. We have a letter that was constructed and refined, and Councilman Smiley, who also had some concerns over matters of response, and I think the 911 center joined in. You know, that letter is very shortly going to go to them, and I just want to brief this council so that they know that I would like to add again in this correspondence that this is repetitive, it's recurrent, and we all look at the thing that there's another act in town. But I think when they're contracted with this government and other governments throughout the state and the city, that it's time to put their board on record that we have warned from our county, Kent County has warned, and these actions are continuing. So in that case, I think that it would behoove their board to take a look at who's the leader of their particular statewide service, which we're paying millions of dollars to have that service provided. But under no circumstances are we going to tolerate this nonsense. And this just occurred in Kent County, and like I say, the commissioner was livid. They even went to the degree, the audacity of responding back, saying that they named the animals after these folks because they're such fine supporters of their organization. That's how blatant they are. So just wanted to put that on the record so that we're all aware of it, and we'll see where we go from here. So, Councilman?
Yeah, I'm not going to go there. I just want to say, I follow up on this video that's been put out there about the beating, and I kind of responded today when I got it from our police force. I don't know where our fellow public comes from. You can take the time to video something for 90 seconds or more, someone being beat. Then you can take the time to send it out to everyone. But you can't dial 911 while it's going on. I don't know whether it's a desire for personal fame that they put it out there. But, you know, to everybody out there, you can take your video, but call 911 first. Report it while it's going on. Don't make the job that much more difficult. And then when we can catch them in the act while something like this is going on or somebody's breaking the law, it's much better for everybody than you putting it out and we find out 3 days or 4 days later and now you got to go back and start your investigation. But, it's easier. At least for me, I'm not that tech savvy. I can dial 911 quicker than I can start that camera. So I just don't understand. And you know where I am with the SPCA, so hopefully we'll get that letter out and
absolutely
see what happens.
Thank you. Any other comment or question? Co-Chairman Street.
I want to agree with everything that you said, and I want to agree with everything that Councilman Smiley just said. And the only reason I'm not going to stand on it because I know I can't talk about that video without engaging in conduct that's unbecoming a public official. But it's among the most outrageous things I've ever seen. And, you know, I had a situation years ago where I'm in a hearing and didn't realize why the kids were being put out of school. When I found out that they'd been picking on a handicapped student, and when the handicapped student tried to fight back, they assaulted him. I stopped the hearing. Said I couldn't represent the kids. I told the hearing officer if he didn't put them out of school, he needed to be put out of school. And I was going to do everything I could to see to it that they didn't continue. Mother cursed me out, and I was so happy when she cursed me out, because then I got to cuss her out. And the school system did the right thing in that situation. But when one of the mothers started cussing me out, it was obvious what the problem, with where something was. I mean, that whole perspective was the genesis of it. So we got a lot of work to do. But you know what's posted there is awful and it's incredible.
Well, for pretty any peace of mind, sir, the detectives were assigned to that case. Arrests have been made and more are coming. Again, I know I've said this a lot of times, but I'd just like to reiterate the open invitation to all council for the Tuesday TAPS meeting at 900 hours. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Colonel and staff. Just want to mention before we do go into adjournment, we have with us Les Warwick, Chief Les Warwick from our County Fire and Ambulance Advisory Board with us today. Chief, do you have anything or just
all quiet journeys? As far as I know, sir.
All right, we thank you very much for attending. Okay, with that, a motion's in order.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion made, second to adjourn. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried.
Not voting.